touch other people. So I want you to be able to catch that. And we're going to have a prayer time still this morning, but we're not going to do prayer circles. I want it to be something that we recognize and release by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God and a commitment we make. And an understanding that in days like this, it's not enough to talk about the darkness and all the things that are wrong. You can listen to the news and get all that. I want you to know what it is to be light, because darkness is simply the absence of light. And that's what God's called us to be. And I want us to come like Nehemiah of old and ask the Holy Spirit to really come into our heart and forgive us. Because I believe as the church goes, so goes the nation. And when I talk about church, this is not a religious organization either, just like Daryl Scott said. This is a relational organization, part of the Father's forever forgiven family, that we live the life and love of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the reality we want to experience. Now, when Nehemiah heard the sadness of what was going on with the people, and they asked about it, because he was in a pretty good position. But it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, because he learned about how much God's people were hurting. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe their commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that I may know that you hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. And I confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. He's not pointing fingers. He's not playing the blame game. He's taking accountability to say we've sinned. And judgment begins at the house of the Lord. That's you and me. Know you not that you're a temple of the Spirit of God? I'd like to ask you to stand with me now. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to ask you to repeat a prayer after me, but let it come from your heart. I'll say these words, but let it come from your heart. And I want you to do something that we many times do in our praise and worship. And when we talked about lifting the cross, that cross tree of Calvary, I want you to understand there's something that happens when the Apostle Paul said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. It's a sign. It's a universal sign, and it's a spiritual sign. I surrender. And I want you, I don't care how hard it is for you to get your arms up, would you make this extension from your heart and let your hands be lifted today? And would you repeat what I pray and let this come from your heart? Lord Jesus, I come this day. I thank you for your love. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the healer of my broken heart. I confess my sin and ask you, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, and make me an instrument of your light and your love. Lord, we've sinned. Both I and my fathers have sinned against thee. Forgive us, Lord. We come this day and we pray that you would bless us, so we can bless our community, so that, Lord, we can be the church. We can be the light in this dark world. We come to you and we repent and ask you to release your light and love through our hearts, in our homes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's thank him now. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Now would you turn and hug every person you can find and wish them a Merry Christmas? God bless you, man. And you. God bless you. God bless you, Betty. Love you. Bless you, sweetheart. Welcome home, sweetheart. Good to see you. Love you. Uh-huh. Hi, sweetheart. Love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. God bless you. So good to see you.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you. Merry Christmas, son. Merry Christmas, honey. I love you. Merry Christmas, son. So good to see you. God bless you. Love you. God bless you, son. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, son. I love you. Merry Christmas, Renee. God bless you. I love you. God bless you. God bless you, David. Bless you. God bless you. Love you. Hey, guys, are we all set for dedication?
Yep.
I'll call you up in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Love you, sweetheart. Bless you, hon. Hey, Tony. Merry Christmas, son. Love you. Merry Christmas, Sean. Love you, son. Merry Christmas, sweetheart. Merry Christmas, Jeremy. Love you, son. I really enjoyed that time over there. That was great.
I'll give you like a CD or something.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Lindsay. Love you, sweetheart.
Love you.
I do have baby dedication this service.
Are you asking me or telling me?
Tony.
Are you asking me or telling me?
I don't know if you want to come up or not. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, I found them. I just found them. And, love you. You don't have to get up, Jean. Love you. God bless you. Good to see you. Love you, Pat. Well, I wanted to ask you, were you okay the other day?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Love you. I bless you. Love you.
Oh.
Love you, son. Good to see you. Love you, Rocky. Love you, folks. So good to see you. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Hey, Dwight. God bless you. Love you. Merry Christmas to you. All right. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to get you guys to fellowship. Well, this time we're going to celebrate. I'm going to ask Tony and Tiffany if you'll come, and we're going to share this special time of celebration of God's goodness and grace, of the precious little life that he's entrusted to you. So at this time, we're going to have a baby dedication. Please come right ahead. And this is a time that we celebrate a little life that's been entrusted to these two precious hearts to raise in the way of the Lord. And they desire to have this little one dedicated. And this is Tony Lee Parker III. And so we're rejoicing with you this morning. And we take the example from Scripture that tells us when Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, he was lent to the Lord all the days of his life. And that dedication took place and that celebration of life and love. And the challenge we bring to you is that you will live a life in such a way that this little child that's been entrusted to you will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior as the earliest age possible, because until that time, you are God to this little child. And we want you to leave the kind of footprints and legacy of love for this little life to know Jesus. Do you receive that challenge to live that kind of life? All right. And church family, will you pray for them that God will bless them and God will help them to know his love and that every barrier be broken, so they know the fullness of what God intended for you and for you, son, and in this child that God has entrusted you with. And church family, do you receive that challenge to be a blessing and pray for them and help them? You receive that? Amen? Amen. Would you extend your hand and heart toward them? And would you give me a shot here and let me see? Well, does he like to be held by...
Yeah, he just threw up a few minutes ago.
Well, that's all right. I'm a grandpa. I understand all this. Oh, hey. He's saying Merry Christmas. You just can't hear him, okay? Okay, now extend your hand and heart. Father God, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for precious children that you entrust us with. And Lord, I lift this little life before you, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless this child that's fearfully and wonderfully made by your hand and heart. Before the foundation of the earth, God, you plan for little Tony Lee Parker, for what you desire for his life to be. I ask, oh God, that you bless him. I pray you bless these parents, and in the name of the Lord, that you will give them grace and understanding and eyes of revelation for what you want for their heart, for their home, and God, that they will hear and obey what you have to say to them. So, Lord God, we not only dedicate this child, but we dedicate this entire family to you and what you'll do by the power of your love. So, Lord God, I come, and I dedicate Tony Lee Parker III to be used of you all the days of his life. I pray the blessing of the Lord will shine upon him, and in a special way this day, that you'll guide, direct, and bring these hearts so close to you, and may they honor you in everything they do. We commit, Lord, to you what you'll do in our hearts to be a blessing to this family. We give you praise and thanksgiving in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Oh. Now, we want to be sure and give you his first Bible. You probably have to read it to him. But we want you to know this is a roadmap of life. This will keep you on the right path. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
Thank
and so
you.
Appreciate it. We can share this time. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, God is so good. And I want to encourage you about a couple of things, because when I talk about what's going on in the world and what's happening, I don't want to come across like the news. You can hear that at home. I want you to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what a difference that can make. And one of the things that we're going to do in this next year, and we're doing this across the nation and really around the world, we're asking all of our Foursquare family to do this, to get a life journal and not only read your Bible, but you write back what God speaks to you. You'll be amazed at what begins to happen by the inspiration of the Spirit if you'll begin the journal. God wrote you letters. It'd be nice if you wrote back. And there's something about that as we do it together. Now, I serve on the national board, and that involves over 1,700 churches here in America, over 60,000 around the world on the mission field. And my last conference call was 6.5 hours, so that'll give you a little idea of things that we're dealing with and what we're working through, and then we have face-to-face conferences for several days. And those are things I desire to pour my life into, and I want every goal to be connected to a lost soul. But this is something we're doing together. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Get this journal. It's available at the information booth. There is a cost of $5. That's just what it cost us. If that's a hardship for any of you, you take it, your family. That doesn't matter. But I want you to begin to do that. As your New Year's revelation, be sure that you get this life journal and begin to do that. You'll find an amazing thing. What, matter of fact, one of the most amazing churches in the world today is a pastor who taught the people to take 20 minutes to read the Word and then 20 minutes to write down what the Lord said to them and then 20 minutes to go share and obey what he had to say. And I want to tell you, it's amazing what happens through that. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the world today. It runs over 10,000. And between him and another pastor, 1% of all Hawaii attends Foursquare churches through those two pastors' works, because of the fact that they've learned to not only hear what God has to say, but write down and see what he says. And sometimes on dark days, you go back and look at a day when the light penetrated, and it gives you encouragement and hope. So I want to encourage you about that and an understanding of that. Please know that we're going to move together and see God do great things in this next coming year. Now, I want to share the fact, too, that we're moving into a wonderful time. Matter of fact, this is our 44th Christmas with you. I want to tell you, I can't believe it. And you guys, a lot of you young people grow up, and we just grow old. But the thing that we've been able to share all these years has been such a celebration. And one of the things that I think about, two milestones we've got coming up in June. One of them is that Sharon and I will, and this will be in April, we'll celebrate 50 years of marriage. I want to tell you, that is so amazing. And I want to tell you, I have a wonderful wife, and I'd say she's lucky she got me, but I don't know if she'd agree, but we've had a wonderful life together. We really have. 50 years, a half a century that we've been able to share. But also on Father's Day, we'll celebrate our 44th anniversary of coming here to Clinton when we started in the little church down on 8th Avenue. Now, if you're fairly new in church, you'll think what's been here has always been, or what is here has always been. But it was a small church down there, and I've said to you before, they told me there's 36 people there, but I couldn't find them. And I remember preaching my whole sermon to one. But God has blessed, and you're the most wonderful Christmas gift that could ever be given, our church family. We live out life and love. But I want to say on that day, I'm celebrating to see how the Lord's working in a wonderful way and the anointing that's on Pastor Jim. Come up here for just a moment, son. And I'm really going to have to, yeah, come up here just a moment. I want to tell you the message. I used to get nervous when he preached. But now I take notes because I hear the Holy Spirit. And I see the anointing that's upon his life, and I'm so thankful for that. And I want to tell you, we're coming to a time of transition where on Father's Day, he'll be the senior pastor, and I'll be pastor emeritus. I'm not sure how all that... Now, I want to say this. The fact that we're going to see that, I'm still going to be around. And listen, you guys are better look out. Because you talk about man of God, I already got it where I can make phone calls to you now. I'll be on your doorstep. I'll be coming after you. If I got more time, I'm not going away. But there is a time of transition and a wonderful thing. And I've watched God raise up his heart as a pastor. And I've seen the work of the Holy Spirit. And I honor that. And I trust that. And I believe for what God will do. And I'm so thankful to see and to share that. I used to stand on the hill, and that was one of my prayers. Lord, what will it be one day? And listen, I'm not going away. And matter of fact, I plan not to go away until Jesus comes. You're going to have to work with me, son. But I want to tell you something. I'm excited for what God's going to do. And thank you for being a church family that really understands to be flexible and to let God do what he desires. This is his church. Amen? And we have the honor to serve him. But God bless you, and I love you, son, and appreciate you. And we'll share more as we go along, but I love you and appreciate you. God bless you. Amen. Now, this is the time that we do our television broadcast. And we've kind of moved in different directions this morning. And so our time is short. We got to get 30 minutes in here. You know, for the television broadcast. They usually have to do surgery on my sermon to get it in that 28 and a half minutes for television. So I'm asking you to fasten your pew belts and hang on, and I want to talk to you about Jesus came to light up your life and what that means, how that works in your life. Not some little quip, not some little saying that sounds good on Christmas, but the reality of the relationship with the living God. Hear the Christmas story. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. That's something that's in the news. And they went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, in Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was while they were there that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That's just old rags. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring to you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even now unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let us go see what the Lord has made known to us. And I want to tell you, if you get it clear in your heart of how he wants to light up your life with his love, if you understand, I wish there's a way that I could express to you the ultimate love of God, how much he cares about you. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I want to tell you, you would be absolutely breathless if you understood how much God really loves you. The understanding that on that first Christmas tree, when God looked and said, I'd rather die than live without you. And he placed the gift of his son, the cost of Christmas, to be able to show us the value that he placed on every single one of us. That's the understanding of the kind of light that came into a dark world. And even though many did not receive him and didn't understand, matter of fact, whenever I go to the Holy Land, I always go to the Wailing Wall. And there with my Jewish brothers, my elder brothers, they stand there. Many of them come three times a day. And they cry out. You can hear them wailing long before you get to the wall. You hear the sound of the wailing voices praying for the Messiah to come. I stand with my older brothers. And as they cry out for the Messiah to come the first time, I'm standing there crying out that he'll come the second time. Christmas number two, when Jesus comes for you. Because that's the reality of the understanding that we have. And I know God has a special dealing for the Jewish people. They were the first chosen channel that God would speak through to reveal his life and love. It had to be law at that point because of the condition of man's heart. And then Jesus come to reveal the real heart of God, the love that God has for every soul. The Bible tells us with sadness how they miss the present day visitation of God through his son, Jesus Christ. My great concern today is that many people are missing the present day visitation of the Holy Spirit of God. Many church services, people will come and they'll sing a song and they'll hear a sermon, but they will not understand the spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the grace of God that wants to embrace you and unwrap Christmas, that you can get the content in your heart and begin to live out the kind of life that glorifies God. It's not just a celebration of a season, but the whole understanding of the revelation of light and love every day. You know, I've said this to you before, but it always speaks to my heart at Christmas time. And that's a story that when Sharon and I were at Pastor Jack's church in Van Nuys, California, and I relate there so much because of God developing my heart in many ways by Pastor Jack and opening it and enlarging my heart and giving me a larger view of what God will do in my life, but also in this world. And I remember, how many of you can remember this, the song by Debbie Moon, You Light Up My Life? Can you remember that? Are you old enough? that's what I'm asking, I guess. It does date you a little bit, if you can remember. She wrote that song for the Lord, Pat Boone's daughter. And it's kind of interesting when you go to church there because Pat Boone's an elder and Dean Jones comes through as an usher and the captain of the love boat, he comes in because that's where God healed his marriage and his heart and he got things straight. He found out he got on the love boat and that was the love of Jesus Christ that transformed his life and put his marriage back together. That's what Christmas is about. Amen? But I remember Pastor Jack said to me, go in my office and I'll meet you afterwards. And I went in the office and there was Debbie Boone. And I began to talk to her, and I was so appreciative of just hearing the heart of a person that had that kind of heart and love and wanted to be that kind of light to Jesus Christ. You light up my life, an understanding of that. But then we were seated, and I love front rows, and I said this morning. I don't know why these seats are not packed out in front. Because when you sit in the front row, there's no distractions, and I want to tell you, the only thing is that if the speaker gets really anointed, he may spit on you a little bit, but otherwise, you're pretty safe. And I think I've done that is why I say that. But, you know, I was sitting, and I always get as far to the front as I can, and Sharon doesn't always appreciate that, but she goes with me. And we're sitting not in the front row because that's where all the speakers are, but we're in the second row. And I looked, and I've told you this before, but I want to tell you, it so speaks to my heart again in this Christmas season, especially with what's happening in our world. And when I think about little children, they're so precious. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you humble your heart like a child. Because a child will trust. They not only love, they will trust. And I remember looking at the man just in front of me, and I thought, you know, that guy would make a great Santa Claus. He looks like Santa Claus. I mean, he's big built like Santa Claus. He has the face. He has a full beard. He has the long hair. He's got everything except the red suit. He's got a suit on. Now, I told Sharon, I said, he looks like Santa Claus. And she agreed. And we sat there for a little bit, and they called him up. And he said, we want to introduce Santa Claus. Oh, I was not too badly taken back because I'd already figured that out. But this man is the Santa Claus that would light up the lights and plug in the lights and do that at the White House. But that's not the big deal. He had this huge, huge warehouse, and it's packed full of toys that come from toy makers all around the world. And they have Christmas 365 days a year. You see, he brings children there. And these are terminally ill children that are soon going to go be with the Lord. And they have a wonderful time together. And he tells them about Christmas. And they rejoice. And they enjoy Santa Claus. By the way, if your Santa Claus is not saved and sanctified, get him that way. Don't be all hung up about that. Don't be an old bah humbug, Scrooge spirit kind of person. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Amen? Don't you let anything take that joy away. That's what will keep us in the darkest days. Jesus said 3 days before he died, he said, my joy is coming to fill you. And that's what keeps us in the darkest days we face. But listen, I listened to that man talk and how it was that he would tell those little children about the understanding of Christmas and how much God loves them, and soon they'll be there with the Father, and they didn't have to be fearful, and the life that he would bring them. But please understand that. As much as you would see a man do that, we are all terminally ill. Life is fatal 100% of the time. We're all going to die. We're going to die by appointment. We just don't know when the appointment will be. And we need to understand not to fear that day, because see, there is an antidote that conquers that, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It conquers death, hell, and the grave. And that's what those children can come to know, but that's what we need to know, and that's what we need to share. The reality of Christmas gives us that hope and that understanding about heaven, not just this temporal life. And matter of fact, we're going to be doing this series, and I want to encourage you to plan to be here, called The End, by Dr. Robert Morris, who pastors a church in Dallas of over 24,000 people. And this will tell you about death, hell, and the grave. It'll tell you about the climax of Christmas. It'll give you an understanding so you can share with people. And it is so needed in this dark world, because there's so much confusion about God. There's so many questions that come against God. There's so many people that have made Jesus in their image instead of allowing him to make them in his image. But as he tells that story to those children, I can't help but think, oh Lord, what I want to do is tell every person who's terminally ill, those that are going to die in sin, just as I was when I was up till I was 22 years old. I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with God. Knew what it was to be religious, didn't know what it was to have a relationship with God. And I'm so thankful that I experienced Christmas. Christmas came into my heart. Christmas is a person, Jesus Christ. He come to light up your life. But it's the kind of light that he wants to let that light shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father. There's something about that that the Holy Spirit wants to bring. My favorite thing about Christmas, one of the things, is the light. I love to go out and see where people have decorated. All the lights that are there in a beautiful way demonstrate something of what he wants to say to us. He comes in our heart to dispel the darkness. And those dark days come to all of us. When we have dark days of doubt, he's there in the despair. He will help us in all that we go through. And listen, God not only hears, he answers prayer. Amen? You know, little kids, when they pray, they get a little manipulative sometimes. Have you noticed that? And have you ever done that, where you kind of just manipulate God a little bit? But two little boys were praying, and it's Christmas time. That's when it's fun to listen to kids pray. because they get serious. I don't know who they think they're talking to sometimes, but they get serious in what they're praying. The two little brothers were praying. As they were praying, the one little guy, he got really loud. He started praying. He said, "Lord, I want a bike. And Lord, I want a train set. And I want a turtle for Christmas." And the other little brother said, "Why are you praying so loud? God's not hard of hearing." And he said, "No, but Grandma is." Now, God's not hard of hearing. And can I tell you something? He heard what you just prayed a few minutes ago. He looked beyond your hands into your heart. And he wants to do something in you that makes you different. Christmas changes everything if you really let it happen. And I believe that this Christmas is so significant. Listen, many people thought the significance was the election. I want to tell you, God already held his election, and you got voted in. The Bible says you're God's elect. Amen? And the kingdom of God, that's what we need to be concerned about. Because we're never going to change it through a political process. Matter of fact, I think that's one thing that trips us up. Now get in there, do all you can, pray, and do what you can. But I want you to know the real deal is that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's an understanding of who you and I are. It's not an organization, denomination, but the revelation of being the body of Christ. But we need to go see Christmas. We need to understand the revelation of what God has done. See, when I stand there at the Wailing Wall with those people, as I commented a bit ago, that we're the forerunners. It tells us in the book of Romans that they have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear because they couldn't receive the present day visitation through the Son, Jesus Christ. And here's what it says God gave them, a spirit of slumber. Have you ever tried to wake somebody up and they just will not allow that to be? I mean, you shook them, you told them, yeah, and finally you just said, "All right, go to sleep then." But they just went into slumber. And see, that spirit of slumber is still on the people of Israel today. I want to tell you, though, it's on many people in the church today. That spirit of slumber is there. And the Apostle Paul says to the church there, right after that, he says, "Awake, for it's high time to understand the days that we live in." And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to wake up the church. He wants the light to shine in such a way that you and I can be able to say the revelation of what Christmas is all about. But it's not one day. It's the ongoing thing. It's the man in the warehouse that has Christmas every day, giving out the gift of God's love and grace and mercy to all who will be able to hear and understand and undertake what God desires to do in and through them. There's a lot of crazy, bizarre ideas about God in this world. Would you agree? I mean, people are always questioning God. People question the Bible. They judge the Bible. They don't realize they'll be judged by the Bible. And the understanding of Christmas is to give us the revelation, though, of how much God cares for us. The truth is, most people really aren't living. They're just existing. They get up in the morning. They go to work. They go to school. They go home. They eat supper. They watch television. They go to bed. They get up in the morning. They go to school. They eat and they watch television. And they just go on and on, 60, 70, 80 years, and never really understand what this life is about. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Christ that says, "I've come to not only give you life, I've come to give you a more abundant life. I want you to know what fullness is all about. I want you to have a joy that passes understanding. I want you to understand it's not about some kind of spiritual hype, but it's living out a life. It gets down to the deepest needs in you. It helps you to understand to be the man of God you've been created to be. It makes you understand how to have a family, how to live out life and love. It helps you face the darkest days without fear because the Spirit of God comes where you're at to help you to work through that, to process that, that you understand that His Word is a lamp under your feet, a light under your path, that the devil can't disarm you. That there's something about what the power of the Holy Spirit can do, because see, if he can disarm you, he will defeat you. That's why I want you to get into the Word of God, because Jesus would always say, "It is written," and that would break the back of the enemy. You and I need to know the Word of God. We need to understand it. We need to understand that's where the light's at. It doesn't just come and be generated in self. It's something because the Savior abides in us by the power and the passion of the Holy Spirit. But darkness comes every day in some way. We face disappointment, distress, doubt, and depression. But 1 Samuel 22:29 says it well. You, Lord, are my light. You dispel my darkness. Now, every person here is in one of three positions. You're either headed into dark days, or you're in dark days, or you just come out of dark days. We're always there. And listen, in those dark days, sometimes the devil can punch out your lights. That's why we need one another. Amen? Listen, if your fire goes out, the best thing to know is have somebody close around that you can get to, and they ignite that light once again in your heart. I like to be around people that are excited about the things of God. I know what it is to be punched and hit by things in life to where numb almost becomes normal. But I need to get around people that love Jesus, people that are encouraged. I know what they went through. Sometimes I look out and I see you worshiping the Lord, and I know what you've gone through or what you're going through or what you're facing, and I see you worshiping the Lord, and I say thank you for that grace that they've been able to embrace by the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know it'll be well, and he that began a good work in them will complete it to the end. But we have to make those kind of decisions. It's allowing that light to penetrate everything of darkness. It allows you to be penetrated as a man so you understand how to be a husband, so that you don't go around listening to what the world has to say, but you understand the real deal of being a dad and being able to take time with your children. That's how they spell love. T-I-M-E. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you will awaken our hearts so that we can erase the misconceptions about God and express his love and enable relationships with God the way he intends. You know, the light of God is all about this, to let us know what God's like so we can be like him. The understanding of how that works in our heart and in our life. It's to inform us of God's plan. He really wants you to know. And that information is not so you can be a transmitter of truth, but be transformed by truth. I want to tell you, I don't want to be a preacher that transmits truth. I want to be transformed by truth. I struggle just as hard as you do to live out the ideal of God's word. I'm real. I try to be real with you. Because I know if we can be real with God and real with one another, God can be real with us. Amen? And that's what we need. We need to understand that every day in our life. And it's also that God can guide our steps. He can heal our hurts. And there isn't one person here that doesn't have deep hurts that God would like to get to and bring healing to this Christmas. He would like to be able to bring us to that point of an understanding of what he desires. The darkness in our life disappears when you bring it into the light. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to move in a powerful way in this very day. He wants us to understand something about that kind of grace that he can embrace us with every day so that we can see his way, that we can walk it out and know and understand what he really desires. Now, as much as we get pounded with all the things that's in the news and the tragedies that we hear around the world, and listen, we just hear a few of them. There's more people died the death of a martyr since 1948 than in all of church history. There's people today around the world that are suffering. I'm going to say this carefully, but I'm going to say it. I believe what we see manifested in our world today has to do with a judgment that has come that God wants to awaken our hearts to. I believe what has happened in the womb is now coming into the world. I believe the abortion that's taken place in our nation of the most innocent blood is being manifested now to the most innocent blood of our children, not just in death, but in denial of an understanding of a way of life and what God desires for him. And that concerns my heart deeply. And by the way, I want to say, if any of you have ever gone through that heartache about abortion, you let God forgive you. And I want you to know you'll have a second chance in heaven to hold that little one and have all eternity with him. Amen? Amen. No condemnation. But I want us to understand something God's doing. And listen, the judgment doesn't come because God's mad at us. He's mad about us. The judgment doesn't come because God said, I'm going to get you for doing that. The judgment comes because we moved out from under the hand of the living God. And may the Holy Spirit awaken our hearts. I want you to hear this. It was 11 days before Christmas, about 9:38, when 20 beautiful children stormed through heaven's gate. Their smiles were contagious. Their laughter filled the air. They could hardly believe all the new beauty they saw there. They were filled with such joy, they didn't know what to say. They remembered nothing of what happened earlier that day. Where are we? Asked a little girl, as quiet as a mouse. This is heaven, declared a small boy. We're spending Christmas at God's house. When what to their wondering eyes did appear but Jesus, their Savior, and the children gathered near. He looked at them and smiled, and they smiled the same. Then he opened his arms, and he called them by name. And in a moment of that was joy that only heaven can bring. Those children all flew into his arms, that the arms of a king. And as they lingered in the warmth of his embrace, one small girl turned and looked at Jesus' face. And as he could read all the questions she had, he gently whispered to her, "I'll take care of Mom and Dad." Then he looked down to earth, the world far below. He saw all the hurt, the sorrow, and the woe. Then he closed his eyes and stretched out his hand. "Let my power and presence re-enter this land. May this country be delivered from the hands of fools. I'm taking back my nation. I'm taking back my schools." Then he and the children stood up without a sound. "Come now, my children, let me show you around." Excitement filled the space. Some skipped and ran, and displaying enthusiasm that only a small child can. And I heard him proclaim as he walked out of sight, "In the midst of this darkness, I am still light." Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that light. Thank you, Lord. I read one more thing that I want to say. And now, before I say this, would you turn to the person next to you and say, "Pastor's not a poet." And in a couple minutes, you'll know it. Right? I want to bring it home to where we live. I want to bring it to what's happening all the time. And I put this together the best I can. Because I tell you, it breaks my heart as a husband and a father what I see happening in our nation. And I do believe for a revival of the hearts of the fathers turning to the children and the hearts of the children turning to the fathers. So men, I'm coming after you. Because I believe you're key to what God's going to do in this revival of relationships he's going to bring. This is my way to say about the night before Christmas. And this is a true story, by the way. The night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even the church mouse. This is my house, okay? He always follows me home. Pastor Jim was sleeping without a care, for he knew that Jesus' love was everywhere. Then all of a sudden there arose such a clatter, he sprang out of his bed to see what was the matter. It was a phone call that told him that a family had just been shattered. He went in the darkest hour to a hospital room to bring the light of Jesus in the midst of death and gloom. The room was packed, and the name of Jesus was under attack. "Why, God? Crib death of our baby." Then cursing and tears. "I took that little baby from a mother so dear and dedicated him to the one that can calm our greatest fears." Silence came as I prayed that night. I told them of Jesus, who came to take their child not by death, but out of death to greater life. Jesus was not the cause of the tragedy, but he's the triumphant cure. The reversing of the cursing was in sight as this mommy and daddy received Jesus Christ as Savior and light on that dark night. It's sad to see this little one took the early flight, but those parents were born again on this dark night. I sat with that couple and I prayed with them and they opened their heart and received the Lord. The young man that stood outside of the hospital, cursing God, was watching. And when we got done, he said, I want that too. And he received Christ as his Savior. I was sad a little soul took the early flight into eternity. But three people that were dead in sin and trespasses came to Jesus that night. And there was a light of God's love that filled that room that spoke to every heart there. They had called me there because of all the cursing, confusion, and about 25 or 30 people that had gathered at that place, and they didn't know what to do. But Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what to do. And listen, he knows exactly what to do in you and through you. Let there be light. Let it be different. Let this Christmas be something that you really let the revelation of how much God loves you become something you can't contain. If you can contain Christmas, you haven't got enough of it. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. But would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak. Because, Lord, unless you speak, it doesn't mean anything. God, my words are null and void without the inspiration of your Spirit. I'm asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that right now, by the power of the anointing of your Holy Spirit, come and touch hearts here. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, as much as I reach forth and I receive a little body that had gone to be with you. Lord, there was greater death in that room than that child. There was lives that would be lost for eternity unless they come to you and found that life that you wanted to give. And Lord, I'm so thankful you don't cause death. You've conquered death. And Lord, today I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, that we'll open ourselves and give you the gift that you came for, that you wanted. The only thing you ever wanted was a family. And so, Lord, today, I pray if there's one or several that have drifted away, that they'd come back this day. I pray if there's any soul here today that would say, Pastor, I need the Lord, that this would be the day that you'd lift your heart with your hand and say, Lord, that's me. Now, I'm going to ask you, right where your seat is, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Slip your hand up. Don't hesitate. Allow the Spirit of God to just bring release and bring Christmas to your heart. And if that's a need in your heart, would you slip your hand up and just respond to him right now in this moment? Don't hesitate for a moment. If that's that nudge in your heart, my sister, the Holy Spirit of God wants to bless you and help you and hold you. My brother back there, in the name of the Lord, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to do something new in you. You have seen the end of what has been, and it's the beginning of a new day for the desire of the Spirit of God. My brother over here, in the name of the Lord, the grace of God. And I'm speaking to my brother right in the middle there. In the name of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord to your heart. For this day was not a chance day. It was a choice. It was a choice you made to be here to hear and to respond to the Spirit of the living God for what he desires to do in you. My brother in the back, that you hear that there will be a new day. And those days of darkness that you've seen for some time now, he will dispel that darkness. And he will deliver and make a way for you. My brother here, in the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God will let you begin to see light that penetrates deeper than it's ever been. Allow it to go down to the deepest point of your soul so that you can see and that he can set you free. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God and Son, that you would know that forgiveness, that love. My sister, that you would know that this day, that you receive it. And you allow that to transform your life. This is not a gift that will go away. This isn't a gift you'll lay aside. This is a gift that will make you be who God made you to be. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My sister, may you know the power of the Holy Spirit to come where you are, to help you and hold you, and let you know how precious you are. Others have not seen that, but he has. And there's points because it was precious, it was broken. But God is going to heal those pieces. He'll put it back together in a way you've never known. But it'll be a good way. It'll be his way. And you'll be healed of the deepest hurts. Are there other hearts this morning? God bless you, my sister. May the Holy Spirit lift you, love you, and may the release and the peace that your heart has sought for, that always seemed to be a passing thing, may it come because of the presence of the giver, of the gift, right there now, that's touching your heart. And bringing that release and peace in your soul. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for my brother. Thank you, Spirit of God, that his hand comes up kind of heavy, Lord. But I thank you, Lord God, that heaviness is going to be replaced by something holy. God, you've seen things in him he's never seen. And God, he doesn't understand at this point so many of those things that he's questioned. And I pray today that all those question marks will be washed away and he'll find the answer in his own soul when he sees you and he sees himself the way you see him. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring that revelation. Are there other hearts? I agree with you, my brother and sister. And as you came this day and you dedicated that little child and said, Lord, have your way. So it is on this Christmas. So it is on this Christmas that you come and will become the daughter and son of the Most High God that he wanted you to be, that he's called you to be. And God is going to begin to speak and direct and perfect. And I pray that you'll have the courage to obey what he has to say, because he has a great plan and a great purpose for your life. And he brought you together not by chance, but things he's going to release in your life. Have the courage to obey it. It'll bring great joy to you. Hallelujah, Lord. God's so good. God's so good. Would you stand with me? I really love you, church family. You guys are the greatest gift that could ever be given. I'm going to ask you to be sure to get your journal. And could I ask you to also, would you make this the year of the church in your life? That you, we need you to be together. We need to come together for what God's going to do. We need to hear together, move together. Well, Pastor, you're just trying to get me to come to church. Yes, I am. But I'm not manipulating you. I'm calling you. Please come. It's important. You may not get excited about every sermon, but I promise you the Holy Spirit will do something to you. Every time you gather together unto him, you'll never go away the same. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Remember, no service tonight, but tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, be here. We are going to have a blessing and a blast together as a family. God bless you. Would you hug everybody you can find? And be sure and get your journal and get all set for what the new year will hold for you. God bless you. I love you. Hey, Russ, bless you.
Pastor Jim will make a fine senior pastor.
Yeah, he will. He will. Hey, son. I love you. Listen, if I can help you in your walk with the Lord, you let me, will you? Mm-hmm. I want you to grow to be the man of God you've been called to be, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, Pastor.
Love you, honey.
Love you, too.
God bless you. I love you, son. I really do. I love you, son. God bless you. I love you guys. God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
I love you. It's so good to see you. Bless you. God bless you. I love you, sweetheart. God bless you, hon. Steve, I love you, son. God bless you. So good to have you come worship with us. Bless you. Bless you. I like your hat. That's cool.
Good to see you.
I love you. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. You doing well?
Yes, dear.
And, all right. Oh, God bless you, my brother.
Good to see you.
I love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, sweetheart. Merry Christmas, honey. God bless you, hon. God bless you, son. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, my brother. God bless you. Love you. Bless you.
I receive it.
God bless you. Merry Christmas. I love you. Bless you, honey.
Bless you, my brother.
Love you. All right.